Hey, I'm Roger Raskin.
And this is Logan Raskin.
And we are the Raskins.
And we give you the right to rock.
The right to rock. Texas, you're listening to the Right to Rock podcast, the only heavy metal and hard rock show on the net made by fans for fans. And now get ready for two guys who are so metal, they pour motor oil on their cereal. It's Genghis and Ragbag.
Hey, this is Roger Raskin.
And I am Logan Raskin.
And we are the Raskins.
And you are listening to the Genghis and Ragman show.
Horns up!
Genghis, Ragman, and the Raskins, both of them, Roger and Logan. Logan, welcome back to the show. Roger, welcome.
It's a pleasure.
Yeah,
how you guys
thanks,
doing?
Doing great, man. Thanks for having us on. Yeah.
We are on the eve, or not the eve, we're on like an hour or a couple away from you guys opening up for Ted Nugent. Last time we spoke, you guys were on tour with Motley Crue and Alice Cooper. How do you go from that to another legend in the industry? This is awesome. I'm so happy for you guys.
Actually, very easily.
Well, I'll tell you, the Motley Crue and Alice Cooper tour was amazing. I mean, it was an epic tour for us, and it really put the Raskins on the map. And we took a little bit of time after that to record our next album. And then, when the opportunity came up to tour with Ted Nugent, I mean, Logan and I have always been huge fans of Ted Nugent. And, I mean, he's one of the godfathers of rock and roll. I mean, And outside of that, he happens to be a terrific guy. And he's great. And the tour has been great thus far. So it's been cool.
Yeah, it's funny. Ted had a tour going out in 2014. And I remember when that came around, fortunate for us, we got asked to do the Motley Crue tour. And I was like, ah, man, it looks like we're going to not be able to go out with Ted. But when the opportunity came around this time, there was no way we were going to miss that opportunity. You know, Ted Nugent is a favorite of ours, been so for pretty much our whole rock and roll life, you know. So when the opportunity came for us to get out,
it was a no-brainer.
Yeah. The Sonic Baptism tour came around with Ted Nugent, man. We wanted to be first in line to try to get on the bill, and we did. They asked us, and here we are. We're going to play about 20 shows with Ted this summer.
Well, we're about 10 shows in right now, right?
Yeah.
It's been great, though. It's been great.
Nice. Are you worried that this is going to spoil you for other tours? I mean, you got two big tours right out of the gate. That's pretty nice.
It basically definitely has spoiled us. I mean, look, you know, we've been on some kind of a ride and had some kind of a run so far for a new act, you know? I mean, we basically were doing our own club touring. And then from there, we got asked to go out with Scott Weiland, which actually was the very last time we played in Houston. Which was 2013, Ron,
right,
you'd
right,
say?
Yeah.
So we were out with Weiland. We dropped our first single. The album didn't even come out yet. And the single started to take off online. It was taking off on Active Rock. And then right before we released the album, yeah, we got asked to do the Motley Crue tour. So did 70 shows with Crue and Alice Cooper, which was a dream run. Did that for a year. And then Roger and I, you know, took a few weeks off after that long tour. Went into the studio for about 8 months. We locked ourselves in the studio. And we were fortunate enough to, what we think is write a follow-up, a killer follow-up album. We got to work with a couple of great producers as well. Brian Virtue, he did
30 Seconds of Mars.
Last 30 Seconds of Mars album, last Jane's Addiction album. Yeah. Nicholas Essig, he did Coldplay's last record and some Goo Goo Dolls stuff. And we got to record a lot of the tracks over at Henson Studios in Hollywood, California. So it's like not only are we like upgrading with our live shows and concerts that we're doing, it seems like we're doing the same with our recording process as well. And look, I mean, you know, we just released our first single off the new album, a week and a half ago,
Raj? Right. Yeah, yeah.
And
this is not something that I think people lose sight of. They think that, wow, these guys are overnight successes. It's not how it works. I mean, we've been at it a very, very long time. So the road to get to where we are now has been a long journey, but we've enjoyed the process the whole way through, and that's why we're here.
Yeah, it seems like things are really taking off for us now, but as Roger said, the process to get to that point was a long, hard, treacherous road for us. I mean, I wouldn't necessarily call it treacherous, but some people might say that, but we love music. We love playing. So
I can say this, whether we're on the Motley Crue tour, the Ted Nugent tour, or doing our own shows or playing some small place or a huge stadium, it does not matter. We play the same way. We give the same energy every single night. We just do what we do.
Our setup on stage is exactly the same.
Nothing changes. I mean, and I think people are really starting to see what we're all about. And I think that we're a breath of fresh air to them. It's that old school kind of rock and roll. It's kind of, we bring that excitement and that energy to the stage.
And it's stripped down. You know, it's nothing too flashy.
I mean, no funky effects or anything. We're not singing through any kind of a crazy auto tune, or I have no effects. I'm straight into my amp. So
it's raw.
You hear
raw rock.
From the fingers, and that's what I want the people to hear. I just want them to hear who we are and our sounds, and they've been getting it. So it's been great.
I think that's a big part of your appeal too. Kind of like, I know you guys came from a very musical family. Your mom and dad both were huge into the arts. And I think what y'all are doing is sort of a classic American way of expressing yourself. A rock and roll band. You're doing, like you said, straight ahead, kind of a nice poppy, catchy, but really nice rock feel to things. Stripped down. It's that works every decade. You know,
I mean,
that kind of never goes away.
Well, yeah. We have a sound. When we sing together, it's definitely that signature Raskin sound. I mean, Logan has this kind of low, edgy voice, and then I have this kind of high. It's just a perfect marriage, you know what I mean?
And the simplicity with our music, and as far as how we write,
right,
and
right.
You know, the hooks that are involved.
It's easy to process for the listener too.
And that's
it's nothing crazy.
What
it's,
we want,
right?
You know, and I think the fans appreciate that. I think they get it. I think that's what the biggest appeal is with us, is that our music really is. It's easy to digest. It's easy to grasp.
We have young kids posting videos on YouTube that are playing our songs. They're easy to play. The chord progressions are easy. I mean, and I want a 6-year-old kid to be able to understand it as well as a 60-year-old man.
There was a father brought his 7-year-old son to the show last night in San Antonio. And he was like, man, I love that song you guys do, We Had It All, you know. And the kid was like, this is the first song I'm going to start to play. Well, my dad's teaching me guitar. As soon as I go home, I want to start playing We Had It All on guitar. So it's really cool that not only are we reaching, you know, the older fan base, but literally a 7-year-old kid. And when we get that a lot, and that's what's I think is the strength of our music.
And the songs are fun. The lyrics are positive. There's nothing, what I mean? And good messages throughout all our music.
So. And we have a good time, you know?
I'm looking forward to seeing you guys do Alone in the Dark tonight, because you mentioned the harmony vocals, and you're doing the high parts, and Logan's doing the lower stuff. I can't wait to see how you guys pull that song off, because it's probably my favorite song.
That's cool.
And I got to mention Never Too Late, the new single. That is a very, very strong track coming out. The record's done, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Record's in the can.
So can we expect the rest of the record to be in the flow of Never Too Late, or?
What it is that Roger and I do, and what we did on the first record, we do everything on our record label. We have distribution through Sony, you know what I'm saying? And the reason why we do it this way, and there are other major label outlets that want to pick up the record, but we choose not to for several reasons. One, it gives us the opportunity to have creative control over what we do. You know, we have a lot of influences with our songwriting, so we like to incorporate that in the albums that we put out. We did it on the first album. We did it again on the second album.
I think he's asking about the stylistically.
No,
so is it what going to be like? Kind of like Never Too Late.
Point being is that you're going to get a song like Never Too Late.
Right.
You're going to get songs that might be a little more aggressive.
Right.
You're going to get songs that might have a little more ballad feel to it. You're going to get straightforward rock stuff. You're going to get stuff that's rock pop.
I think that we always try to make sure that there's something on the album that everyone's going to like.
Of course.
If it's more the aggressive listener, it's going to be on there. A little bit more of a ballady, kind of a poppy song, it's going to be on there.
You know, the major labels always want to categorize it and throw it into a bin. What are you guys, metal? Are you thrash? Are you pop? Are you R&B? What are you guys? Well, Roger and I just consider ourselves a good rock band.
Well, we just
that
do what
write
we
good
do.
Songs.
And I think that's the biggest message that because people always ask me, what kind of message can you give to younger artists coming up? And I always say, just do what feels natural to you, do what comes out, and don't have someone kind of alter that, because it has to be organic, and it has to be what you're feeling. And if it feels good, and it sounds good, then it is good. And then once if someone starts coming in and giving you different opinions, and it may change, and it's not kind of what you had in your brain, that's my recommendation.
But to answer your question, there's going to be some of that style on the record.
Yeah.
There's going to be some stuff that might be a little more aggressive. There might be stuff that might be a little more ballady.
But
you're going to get a little bit
of that rasping sound.
No question about it.
That's a signature sound. So if you like the first record, you're definitely going to love the second round.
But we wanted to come forward first with that single. We feel like it's people of all ages can really gravitate to it.
It feels good from the beginning to the end.
To feel good summertime song. You know what I mean? And, the radio is going to have a fun time with it as well.
Yeah.
So, and the message is pretty clear on that. You know, it's never too late to do anything you want in life.
That's it,
you know what I'm saying? And I think a lot of people of all ages can really appreciate that. So that's the first song and the first single we wanted to lead with off this new album.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I liked about the first record. It had a nice variety on it. I do want to mention something. There's a song on the first record that I did a little digging on you guys. And I found this very, very interesting. on the radio was a hit for you guys on Billboard. And in this day and age, that's tough as hell, especially for a rock band.
Yeah.
But the thing that blew me away, unless I read it wrong, on adult contemporary radio,
Yeah. Right.
So you're appealing to the young audience. You're appealing to an older audience.
Right.
The thing is, I want to ask you guys, and I bring up a band from the 80s because we're 80s guys and
sure.
stuff like that. But Extreme ran into this problem in the 80s with More Than Words,
sure. yep.
where they got typecast as this pop band or whatever,
sure.
or you know, ballady band. And then when they checked out Porno Graffiti, they're like, holy shit, that's not what I thought
yeah.
I was buying.
Yeah.
Do you get any of that backlash? Or did
you know,
it blow you away about the old adult contemporary?
I gotta be honest with you, you can't be a success is success, no matter where it comes from. You, if someone out there likes, say, hey, this is a great song, or they're playing it, or people are listening to it, do we as artists? No, I mean, I'm thrilled with that. The song, the radio song, it's interesting. Logan and I felt like this is a song. It could be rock, could be pop, it could be contemporary. It was one of those songs that we felt that could kind of cross over into both markets. And we were trying to be a little bit clever about it, and it worked. But we're not afraid. I don't think we're afraid to be labeled or anything.
I mean, everyone
like that.
Was telling us, you guys aren't Hot AC. You're not going to release anything to Hot AC.
And it's not
Raj and I went, oh yeah, we're not? Well, guess what? It's our label. We're going to do what we want.
Exactly.
We pay the bills.
There you go.
We decide to release this single to Hot AC.
It wouldn't have gotten released.
And not
if
only
we didn't
that,
have that control over
of
that.
Of course. We did it. The Pulse on Sirius Satellite picked up the single, played the heck out of it. Fans related to it. The single caught. You know what I'm saying? Wasn't a number one, but you want to know something? It charted high on Billboard. You know, that was the single that really put us on the map to radio. I mean, we had it all, did well on Active Rock, but Roger and I are like, look, if we want to get the wide scope of fans, we got to try to angle shoot Hot AC somehow. And we felt as though this was the single to do that.
The Raskins also have, we have a sound where we've done shows where we literally strip down and it's just me on the guitar and you can really hear the music behind the music, and it's great. We're capable of playing any venue or any being on any type of radio station, or we have that versatility.
Perfect
Logan
example.
We're not one-dimensional, guys.
No,
we're not one-dimensional
not.
In our songwriting or our personality.
And,
or our
and that's the most important thing for my brother and I.
Right.
And we hope, and I think that our fans appreciate that. They're starting to understand that. You know what I'm saying? With our songwriting, with the records that we put out, the singles that we put out.
I mean, the Ramones. The Ramones were rock guys. But you heard their stuff on pop. Today, you hear their stuff on pop radio. So.
But I would say
are they pop? They're the most grungiest, down-to-earth rock band, pop
but I think,
rock band I've ever seen in my
Raj,
life.
Raj, I think the best example is a band like the Goo Goo Dolls. Okay.
Yeah.
When the Goo Goo Dolls first
came out. Right.
You know, they're from up in Buffalo, New York. We're New York guys. They used to come into the city all the time. I used to go see them all the time. They were a punk band. They were a straight-up pop-punk band.
Three-piece power
and
punk.
They had a hard time getting a deal. Finally, a label came in, took a shot on them. The first single that caught for them was their ballad. Name? Was it the song Name? Okay, so real, very different track for these guys. But what it did was got them out to the masses. You know what I'm saying? It got them exposure on the radio, which was very important for those guys. And you know what? It catapulted those guys to the top of the industry, to the top of the radio charts.
Radio's important. You need to figure it out.
Of course.
You need to figure it out.
And once you're there, you have that power and control. You can do whatever you want. And at that point, you decide what's important to you. Do you want to reach a lot of people? Do you want to stay underground? You know, either is good. It depends on the artist. For my brother and I,
music is music to us. I mean, we've always been songwriters.
We
first.
Want to reach as many people as we can.
And
know?
We write, I mean, we don't just write rock music. We write all kinds of music. Mm-hmm. This is just the music that we love to play. And it
and
expresses,
we write about cool topics. And,
yeah,
and we want to get
are,
that out
but,
to as many people as possible.
As musicians, and I think people out there, musicians coming up, they need to stay flexible. They need to be flexible in their songwriting, but they got to be true to themselves. It has to be what they, you know, what they love doing, what they love writing about.
Yeah, and I think you guys are doing it the right way. That's, I think, the most impressive thing I'm hearing from you guys is that you've got a sound, as you say, you know what you're doing, you're confident in what you're doing, and the fans will find you.
They
no
do.
Question about it.
You're out there making the music. Someone will hear it, and they'll come to you.
But I tell you,
know
man,
you're surrounded.
When we do our live shows, you know, the fans that come to the live shows, I mean, we set up our set list very specifically to have a high-energy set. I mean, it obviously depends where we play, how we're feeling, who we're opening up for, or if we're doing our own headlining show, whatnot. But on this tour, specifically with Ted Nugent, it's a high-energy set. We only get 30 minutes. So there's no fluff in there, you know.
Yeah, we're warming the stage up for Ted Nugent.
But
so
the fans are having a blast.
We
make fans.
We we try to throw a couple songs in there, maybe that they might be familiar with. And so if they don't know
off the new album,
they don't know who we are. At least there might be one and two in there that they might know, and then it kind of brings everyone together.
We mix it up. We do a couple new ones off the new album, some older ones off the our debut album. Yeah. We might throw a cover or two in there. You know what I'm saying? So there's a lot there for the fans to really sink their teeth into.
Yeah, definitely, for sure.
And so that's old school, just plain and simple. That's what you call an entertainer.
Yeah.
Right?
It's like, the most important thing.
What's my crowd? What do you guys want to hear?
Absolutely.
I got something for you. Let me pull
absolutely.
It up.
And you know what? Roger and I are able to play the set we want to every night. I don't have a label breathing down my neck or his neck saying, this is what you guys have to play. Well, no. We want to play what we want
to
play.
I said to Logan, the first show we played on the Motley Crue tour, I said, Logan, I remember, where was the first show? It was in
Grand Rapids, Michigan, at the Vandel Arena.
Yeah. And it's a huge arena, and it was packed. And I said, Logan, tonight we're going to find out if we suck. For real. I said, tonight we're going to find out.
I don't think it was necessary to find out if we suck.
We're going to find out where we stand in the whole scheme of things.
Of rock. I mean, these are,
you know what I'm saying?
These are rock fans that have been around loyal rock
fans.
Is
our stuff going to translate? So we're just going to give it to them, give them a strong dose of it, and let's see what happens. And it was one of the best experiences of my life. I didn't get hit with a single tomato.
It was incredible. I mean, you go from Scott Weiland, we were playing venues like this, 1,500, 2,000.
The responses have been great. The crowd responses have been great. And at that point, I knew, Logan, we're there. We're there. Now we just have to keep the train on the tracks and keep punching it along. And so,
well, real quick, I know you guys got a tight schedule here, but just curiosity, when we spoke, Logan, it seemed like Alice Cooper had kind of taken you under his wing a bit.
Yeah.
Did that continue on through the tour? And then did any of that correlate with any of the Motley guys towards the end of the tour? Are you still in touch with the guys? Is there opportunities down the line that you guys might play with, Cooper or maybe one of the Motley guys at some point?
Yeah, we do stay in touch with them, but, Alice Cooper in particular, I mean, Roger and I developed a good relationship with him, his whole crew. Alice used to take us out to the movies all the time on that tour.
And him and his wife was nice. But obviously, Motley Crue, they're doing now all their separate projects now, and so they're kind of scattered all over the place.
But I mean, we keep in touch with Alice Cooper's their band guys and stuff like that. We became good friends. We knew some of them before we got on that tour. The guys in Motley Crue, they all kind of do their own thing. But
it's a small world. It's a small world.
Everyone's kind of aware of what everyone's doing, and everyone's checking in on each other's pages and stuff like that. So it was cool. That was a great experience. But now we're on to the next phase for us, and here we are. We're in Houston, Texas. We're out here touring with Ted Nugent, and things couldn't be any better for my brother and I. Feels like we're in rock and roll day camp, huh?
That's awesome.
Or sleepaway camp or something.
No, it's great.
But we're living the dream, literally. We really are, and we just want to keep this train moving forward and keep growing the Raskin's name brand and keep getting our music out there to as many fans as possible.
Well, I got to tell you, I'm very impressed with the business aspect that you guys have taken. I don't know if you guys have any college where you took business classes or anything like that.
We graduated junior high.
Oh, hey, you went up to me. I said grade school.
But the way you're marketing yourself and the way you push for adult contemporary to have on the radio, to me, it's just very, very impressive. And it just looks like you guys are going to be very successful because you've got a tight rein on what you're doing. And it's very impressive. I'm very happy for you guys.
There's the old adage, right? If you want something done right, do it yourself. And my brother and I, we've been doing it a while, but as you guys know, we grew up in a musical family. We're a tight group. Roger and I are very passionate about our songwriting, and we have a clear vision of the kind of music we want to write and how we want it to be portrayed to, by the public and our fans. And I think that we're on the right track to doing that, and with the power of the internet today, the music industry has changed tremendously, which the way the industry is now, it puts that power back into the hands and the creative control back into the hands of the artists. And my brother and I have taken full advantage of that. Using the internet, using our websites.
We were playing in San Diego at the Coach House, and usually after we finish, we literally play, boom, last chord, we throw our stuff down, and we clear the stage. It's quick transition, getting ready for the headliner. After we play the last song, I peeled my guitar off and I turned my back, and a standing ovation that would not stop. And it caught me. I get choked up talking about it now. You know what I mean? You don't expect those things when it happens, but when it happens, it's like, and they just kept going and going and going, and I got really choked up about it. And it was great to see that fans are really starting to see what we're about, and to get that kind of applause.
Yeah, it's those moments that you don't
forget.
That's
why you do what you do. At the end of the day, that's why you do what you do.
Of course. So
you want that fan appreciation for what it is that you guys do.
You feel as though you're really reaching people.
That's
the payoff for
that's
us.
The payoff.
Literally,
right.
You know?
Well, it's really refreshing to see you guys. I mean, you've been on these huge tours, and you still have the level head, and you're still hungry, which is it's awesome to see. Real quick, to let the fans know, when's the new record going to drop?
Yeah, well, we actually we were talking with our management, our agents and stuff, and what we plan on doing, we just released the first single. We want to follow that up with a second single. So when we're done with this tour, we're going to go back to Hollywood, California to shoot the music video for the first single. And then we go into the recording studio. We're going in with Brian Virtue. He's going to kind of help us polish up. He wants to remix that single. So we're going to go in with him, kind of sit with him on that, and get that prepared for radio. We're going to release the second single. And so I think that what we're going to do is we're looking to target a release date for the album probably in the fall of this year, if not early next year.
Right.
Basically,
right.
Going to kind of see... We're getting other touring opportunities coming in and whatnot. So it's really just, because when you get closer to the holidays around Thanksgiving and, we might release a holiday single, and so then we'll probably end up, what I'm thinking is probably early.
Hitting that first quarter.
We're thinking like third week, January is looking more realistic for us for the album. But the album's in the can.
Yeah. We're just going to. Just tour.
Yeah. Once that album drops, it's just going to be, we're going to be road dogs, and just really try to hit the fans with our music as much as we can. Yep.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, and I remember, being a kid waiting every September. If you don't hit September, you might as well write it off to the new year.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I remember we would wait in line at the record store, I'm dating myself, for the new Priest or the new Iron Maiden or new Kiss or whoever it was.
Of course. We did it.
Unfortunately, cool. There's not that, with the way the music industry is now, there's not that kind of sense of urgency to get that record. But you guys have such a good way of getting your music out there. You're going to be very successful. So I was getting my last question was, what's next? But I guess you guys pretty much told us. So that said, where can the fans find you?
Yeah, well, of course, we have our official website, which is theraskins.com. On there, you have all our other websites, the Instagram, the YouTubes, the Facebooks, Twitter.
We want to make it simple. Just Google search The Raskins, and boom, the whole world will come up.
Yeah, yeah. We're very accessible, very easy to find, and the fans, don't be afraid to reach out to us and message us on any one of those sites, because we really take the time to message them back, and we feel like we have a very cool, close relationship with all our fans. If I have to stay up till 4 a.m, which I do pretty much every night, reaching out to fans that write us, we'll do that, because it's the fans that really make it all happen for us.
All right.
Last question. Does Ted make you call him Uncle Ted?
He feels like an Uncle Ted. I have to say, though, he is the nicest guy in the world. I'm not sure what people think or their preconceived notions about him, but he's a caring, just a sweet, amazing guy. He loves what he does. He loves music. He loves his life.
He's a historian, a great historian of music.
He's a great American. I mean, he is really just
huge
a cool
fan
guy.
Of Bo Diddley and Chuck Berry. I mean, he pays homage to them when he's on
and
stage.
And one of the greatest guitar players that you will ever see live. Yeah. So if you're fortunate enough to come to one of his shows, then that's
Roger,
great.
We were in his dressing room a couple nights ago, and he was actually giving Roger a guitar lesson. He's teaching him. Roger's like, man, how do you make your guitar sound like you're playing two guitars? Yeah, well, let me show you, son. He sat down with Rod. I said, Rod, how cool is this? Guitar lesson from Ted Nugent, you know?
Yeah,
so, I mean, it's cool. I mean, we get to have experiences like that.
No, it's awesome.
You know? And,
priceless
and,
stuff. It's
yeah.
great.
You know,
yeah,
I mean, it's what dreams are made of. End of the day, we're just living the dream and having a great time doing it.
Yeah. That's awesome. Well, Roger, Logan, it was an honor to meet you both. We appreciate you guys coming on the Genghis and Ragman show here on therighttorock.com. We want to tell all the fans to go out there and check out the Raskins. Check them out on tour and check out their debut record and their brand new record in hopefully either late fall or early 2017. Guys, awesome talking to you. Good
Thank
luck
you so
with
much.
Everything.
Our pleasure, man. Thank you, guys. Thanks so much for having us on.
Ragman, and you've been listening to the Right to Rock podcast, and we appreciate you listening, and we want to give a big thank you to Tracy G, who is the third unofficial member of the group. We appreciate all of his work, especially the Broken Man song, which is the theme song to the Right to Rock podcast.
And also, we're going to give high props to our boys in Sonic X, Adam and Joseph, have lent us 13 to finish the show, so what you're listening to right now is 13 by Sonic X. So check them out. And keep checking us out. And horns up.